You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org.
Humor is literally essential to even an approach to sanity, much less achieving that ideal. Comedy, as I've said before, is about tragedy, as hardly anyone past the age of 15 can escape having noticed. We live in a very very dangerous predicament. I mean, literally, physically dangerous. There is certainly tragedy in every life. We come from mystery and return to mystery, and I don't think we have to go on at any great length describing what, as they used to call it, a veil of tears this is. Therefore, so as not to spend all of our time on our knees, we have to contrive some way to just stop looking tragedy directly in the face and look at it in some odd way. And apparently, through the mysteries of evolution, we have devised such a way. And we now have facial musculature with which we perform an act called smiling. We have other musculature and respiratory equipment with which we perform an act called laughing. So we're not talking something about something that's just frosting on the cake. We're talking about something that is essential.
Have there been times when you personally were depressed, when humor brought you out of it?
I honestly don't know, with the exception of one instance, which was quite clear-cut. I went through a very difficult and painful period many years ago, back in about 1949 and 50, at which time I was obliged to do my work, which happened to be an hour-long comedy show every night. This was in radio. And even though I was appropriately depressed, given the background circumstances, during all the rest of the day, I noticed that during the 1 hour I was on the air every night making people laugh, I had no problems at all so far as my concentration on them was concerned. They simply never entered my mind during that hour. And that state of euphoria would generally last until I got about out to the parking lot and, at 1 a.m. and got into my car. Then reality re-impressed itself. But I guess that's a partial answer to your question.
So you mean the act of performing was for you sort of a relief?
Yes, sure. And there's no doubt, since a tiny fraction of 1% of the American, the world population are performers, that fact that was fortunate for me cannot be taken by others and turned to their advantage. But fortunately, they don't have to be performers. Just the simple fact of being an audience, either an audience of one or an audience of 10,000 at an auditorium, any other kind of audience, does force you to laugh. If some wonderfully funny person is on the stage or on the screen, even if you are on your deathbed, assuming you're not in such pain that you can't concentrate, you will laugh. And I think the studies and reports of Norman Cousins, among others, are very helpful in this connection. There is apparently literally physical material. There are brain chemicals which are produced by such acts as smiling and laughing, and they lessen pain. They have sort of an aspirin-like effect, and they make you just feel better in general. And this is being recognized now. There are now rooms or areas in hospitals, some hospitals, set aside for funny books or funny albums or funny magazines or collections of cartoons, that sort of thing, as more and more doctors and hospital personnel are becoming aware of this.
Could you describe the rush you feel when you really burst out laughing?
I don't have anything in the way of description beyond what is obvious to everyone. I guess we all feel pretty much the same when we laugh. And at such times, I'm never thinking of myself, so the introspective analysis doesn't give me much at this moment. When I laugh, I'm laughing because the joke was great, or the man made a funny face, or the baby dropped the glass of milk, or whatever it was that made me laugh. I'm thinking of something else. And there's something to say for that, because when we're ill or unhappy, we tend to think of ourselves a great deal, understandably. That is our blood that is being shed, or our tears that are being shed. But if you can do a little less of that, that in itself will be helpful.
What in your approach to life enables you to see the ridiculous side of things where other people may be less lighthearted?
It may have something to do with my being a product of an Irish-American background. My mother and father were a vaudeville comedy team, and Milton Berle was once kind enough to describe my mother as the funniest woman in vaudeville, which I believe she was. She was remarkably witty. There are some people who are not witty at all. In fact, there's a sense in which they're not even funny, although some of them become comedians of major success. They have funny faces, or there's something funny about them, obviously. They couldn't have bamboozled the public totally. But wit is something quite special, and I generally prefer those entertainers who have that ability. And my mother, I repeat, certainly had it. So not only my mother, but all the members of her family were funny. They were the Donahues. They were lower middle class Studs Lonergan Irish in Chicago. And I didn't even know that was funny. I just thought it was how human beings talked till I got out in the world and discovered there were a lot of straight men out there in squares, but not that many funny people. I didn't even know I was funny till I went through some such social process because I was, you know, like the Donahues, among whom I was raised. My father's side of the family were Germans, but they never had anything to do with my upbringing, so there was very little social influence from that more sensible and sober realm.
When you walk down the street, do you tend to notice the ridiculous things going on?
It's often things I hear on the radio or things I hear other people saying that strike me funny. I've been doing that kind of comedy, in fact, I did it years before I got into show business. As I said before, I didn't even know I was funny. I knew I would mutter little things and my friends would laugh at them when we were all 14 or 17, but that, in my mind, didn't make me like Bob Hope. You know, it just made me a little bit funny, but I didn't think I could make a living with that. And in recent years, many of the better of the young comedians, the, you know, Tonight at the Improv type comics who play the comedy club circuit, tend to do more observational humor than Henny Youngman type jokes. I had noticed that since I eat in a lot of restaurants, as do most entertainers, and if I'm eating breakfast in a coffee shop, there's often the phrase on the menu, eggs any style. And something in my brain interprets everything I read literally, and that makes almost all of it very funny. A lot of my jokes are based on that formula, that premise. And so in the story, as I tell it, it's a lie, but I pretend this really happened. I say, I read this menu the other day, it said eggs any style, so I called the waitress over and I said, see, is this right? Do you have eggs any style? She says, yes, sir, we do. So I say, great, I'll have mine this morning, perhaps Baroque. She says, what? And I said, you don't have Baroque eggs? And she said, no, sir. And I say, well, okay, well, maybe I'll have them Art Deco. That would be a nice style, I think, for an egg. And I keep putting her on with these different styles, and she finally admits they have none of those. And I say, well, may I humbly submit that you should perhaps replace this phrase, any style, which is obviously false and misleading advertising, with some more qualified phrase, such as a choice of styles or several styles. So that kind of thing occurs to me literally all day long, every few minutes or hours.
Does that drive you nuts?
No. I immediately take out my tape recorder and I dictate the routine, and eventually I'll have a chance to use it.
What I'm getting at is, what is it in a person's outlook that produces a kind of lighthearted view of life?
Well, to the extent that we can recognize any such gift or tendency in ourselves and nurture it, we are very wise. Laughter is obviously a good. Unfortunately, not all laughter. There is such a thing as cruel laughter. But for the laugher himself, he's getting his, internal portions exercised, and his blood pressure is being improved and so forth. So laughter is a great blessing and a plus, and there should be much more of it.
Do you think it's possible to take virtually any difficult situation and make it bearable through laughter?
Well, you can make people laugh about it. As to how bearable you're making it, that's a separate question. Let's suppose an extreme case. Suppose you're talking about the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of somebody's life. Even then, people do laugh. When I went through an experience with cancer some years ago, I found that the part of my brain that does jokes did not disengage itself. I'm able now to remember some instances simply because somebody interviewed me about it not long thereafter, and they were trapped at that point. In the hospital, whenever there's any public figure who's hospitalized, they give out bulletins about him or her. And one of them, in my case, was his condition is critical. And my brain said, yeah, I'm critical of the nurses, critical of the food, critical of the doctors. Another, then a few days later, his condition is stable. Yeah, and you know what condition the average stable is in.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.